Testament, Luke chapter 2 verse 14, Isaiah 9 and 6, and Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Those of you who were in small groups this morning, you heard Isaiah 9 mentioned, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm hoping you guys did a better job maybe than I'll do with it, but we're going to look at it one more time here this morning. So Isaiah, that's Old Testament, and those of you with your apps and all, you can get there quickly, and thank you again. And then, like I said, if you don't have a Bible, like I said, if you'll scan that QR code right there by the title, it'll take you right to the YouVersion app. A lot of us like that, and it's audio as well as a print, and so you can have that, and you can listen to it going down the road or if you're exercising, those kind of things, and really, really helpful. And so I appreciate it. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, stand with me if you're willing and able. Isaiah 9, 6, out of honor God and His word, for unto us a child is born, unto us son is given, the government shall be upon His shoulders, name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If you underline and highlight your Bibles, Isaiah 9, 6 is a fantastic verse to highlight and underline. Then Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the familiar expression there from the angels. Whether they're singing or shouting, we don't really know. We've turned it into a song, but it fits. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. If you'll allow me today, our last gift of Christmas, peace. Father, work in our hearts. Help me to preach your word with power and authority. I pray you'd be honored this morning. I pray, Lord, what I say be understandable. And I pray, Lord, we cut through the noise and the chatter. Lord, I've said it for weeks now. So much Christmas and so little Jesus. I pray today it'd be a whole lot of Jesus in here. And so I pray you work in our hearts. Help us today. Help us to be convinced that what the world needs, what we all need, Lord, is the gift of peace. So I pray you do that. I pray you'd help us understand it and apply it. And I pray, Lord, we would all leave today better equipped to help others find peace. We love you and we need you, Spirit of God, work in my heart. I pray, Lord, in all the distraction, I pray, Lord, I be focused in these verses, these moments. We work and we ask this in your son's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. We walk through. We've talked about hope and we've talked about joy. We've talked about forgiveness or redemption. And today we're arriving at peace. Andre said, are these the normal things? I said, no, these are the things that I really felt like we needed to talk about and all. And because of these are the things, man, that I really love and I really appreciate. Last time we talked about joy. If you weren't able to be here for that, make sure you go back, look at that sermon, and walk through it. And you can grab the outline for that. If anywhere the sermons are at, there's always the printed notes. And so you can just click on that link and you can have it. And I gave you some ways to have joy. And one of the things I really liked, I came across, I don't think this was original to me, but I like saying it, I want to remind you as we head into peace, that Jesus is the reason to sing for joy. Jesus is the reason to sing for joy. You can sing off-key for joy. You can sing poorly for joy. But because He's put a song in your heart, I was in a gas station yesterday. I walked in whistling and all. Oh, holy night. Stars are brightly shining. And everybody was in there. We were surrounded by Christmas junk everywhere, you know, and except for the Reese Christmas trees. Those are not junk. Those are holy. And it was all this stuff, and I was paying for the deal and buying, you know, a bottle of water, you know, that came out of the tap that they put in a bottle, and it was, you know, whatever, $18. I don't know what it is. Gas station prices annoy me. And, you know, I was getting something and was heading back out, and I was singing, and everybody in line turned around and looked at me. And I was like the only doofus who walked in singing that day, which, again, my personality, I just want to sing louder. Oh, you know, and maybe they give me my water for free. And, you know, and out I go. There's so much. But He is the reason to sing for joy. I gave you some joy thieves, which was much easier to say than these. These I have. Many of you liked it, so I came up with some thieves of peace. And man, I cannot say that for some reason. The peace thieves. Andrea, I asked her, can I call these the pirates of peace? And she said, you absolutely cannot. And but if you like the pirates of peace better, you can use that. So let me give you a couple of these here. These will steal your peace pretty fast. Number one, unchecked worry. Unchecked worry. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, gonna. Oh no. Oh, no. By the way, anybody go from 0 to 100 with worry pretty quickly here? You know, I got a knot right here. What is it? I don't know what it is, but you're going to be dead tomorrow. You know, unchecked worry, man. It can kill your peace. What's going on? What's happening here? Fantastically, you know, one of the riffs, you know, those of you, the American Prometheus, the book that was written that became the blockbuster movie there about the Americans' involvement with the atomic bomb and all that. One of the great riffs there in the book historically, and it became a little bit of a focal point, I suppose, the movie. I've never seen the movie because apparently it's got some awful scenes in it, so I don't know that. But the book, he talks about that. And one of the congressmen oversees somebody talking. They think he's talking about him, and it skews the whole perspective. Can't ever say that, and it kills everything. We'd find out really at the end that the guy wasn't even talking to him or talking about him. It was something incidental, but the guy was so absorbed. In unchecked worry, will do that. Man, we just worry about things we've got no business, and you let that run long enough, man, it'll kill your peace. Anybody ever had unchecked worry? Just kind of run and run and run. Number two, you lack confidence in the provision of God. One of the things with new believers, always struggle. Hey, you get paid, learn to give to God. You know, and they're living paycheck to paycheck, or they're living whatever, or they're, you know, living off of credit cards and those kind of things. Learn to trust God. If he can save you, he can provide for you. He can take care of you. He can take care of you spiritually. He can take care of you medically. He can take care of you financially. You can learn to do that. You can learn to trust him with your vocation. Lord, what should I do? My joys for all those years, about 20 years working with young people, and God can provide for you, and you still have a job, and you still be in church. You can trust him to take care of you. You don't have to marry. First hairy-legged boy smiles at you. You can wait for God's person for you. You can wait for God's young lady for you. You can trust God. But no, I'm going to have to help God. Anybody here besides me ever helped God and it worked out well? Man, never. Never. Every time I try and help God, I can hear him giggling. Yeah, let's see how it goes there, bald guy. And man, how is this going to work? But lack confidence in the provision of God. Unconfessed and hidden sin. You want to kill peace? I used to say it differently. I'll say it like this for today's sermon, but you can mark it down. Mark it down. Take my glasses off so I don't completely fall as I all of a sudden can't see anything, and I can read with these, but the rest of it I don't need. The quickest way for you to feel, the quickest way for you to feel like you're lost is let a bunch of unconfessed sin go fester in your life. That'll suck the joy of your salvation out of you. It'll suck the happiness of your salvation. Now, you're still just saved as you were before, but you hear me. You want to feel like that? You let it go. You let the calluses grow on your heart. So you go back and you open up a cold one. You go back and you drop a bunch of F-bomb. You go back and all of a sudden you go to that part of the internet you got no business being. You let that stuff go and fester, and it will just eat the joy of the Lord away from you, and it will steal your peace. The most miserable people in the world is people trying to be phonies about this kind of stuff. I gave you a quote there. You will never enjoy the peace of God while protecting the things that are killing it. Don't hear about them as often. But for a while there, the excesses, the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, you'd have people, you know, buy a pet Bengal tiger, you know, while they got toddlers running around. And the tiger would eat the kid. And everybody would go, I never saw that coming. You didn't? You brought a tiger in your home, you know, and all you people with the pythons in your houses, you can mark it down. You can mark it down. I'm not coming. And you tarantula people too. Go. We smile and we laugh. That's what we do, right? I used to try and teach the pastoral students. Say, when is it a sin? When is it a sin? Is it a sin? Is it a sin when you're on your fourth beer? Not them. Is it a sin when you're on your fourth beer? Or is it a sin when you're at the grocery store on Friday afternoon and you put the case in there going, between now and Sunday night, I'm going to be sloshed out of my gourd? You will never enjoy the peace of God while protecting the things that are killing it. You'll never enjoy that. Number four, Satan and my flesh are my enemies, not my allies. Don't make excuses. Don't feed your flesh. Riley's with his sister at her church this morning, be back tonight. Riley's already complaining because he knows what's happening. He knows what happened January 1. January 1, Andre's going to start Whole 30 or eating healthy or 10-day no sugar. I don't know what they're called. Doesn't really change the way that I eat, but it affects the way they eat. And so Riley's like, can we buy cookies now in 2025? Can we get to shortbread ones? Can we do this? You know, he's figured out he's got his own money, but then he figured out how much groceries cost. You know, it's like, you know, every time mom gets on a health kick, it's just rice cakes and, you know, wheat flour and whatever. He exaggerates. And I'm like, son, you got your money. Go do whatever. It's expensive, Dad. I said, welcome to adulting. And don't feed him. And number five, shame and guilt. Shame and guilt will eat your stuff alive. It'll eat your peace away. I've gone too far. I've done too much. I've sinned too. No. You can be clean this morning. The Prince of Peace has come. Your sin can be forgiven. You don't know what I did to my ex-wife. You don't know what I did to my ex-husband. You don't know what I've looked at. You don't know what I've said. You don't know the things I've done. I don't need to know, but praise God, your shame and guilt can be your past and not your future and not your present. Not your present. And in fact, then second guessing Jesus. When the Prince of Peace reigns in our life, then the peace of God can rule in our hearts. Make sure you understand that. Don't second guess the Lord. Don't put a question mark where God put a period. Make sure you understand that. Don't second guess Jesus. Understand what he's doing. Understand what he's done in your life. And trust him. Trust him. Don't second guess the Lord. Now, by the way, how many, if you got a test right now, and I reckon that's 16 points apiece, right? So if you didn't get any of them right, you got a 4. But anybody here, you checked off more than a few of those? Man, they steal our peace. Or maybe you've experienced them in the past. And so I want to walk you through this just for a second. I'm going to give you a couple principles, and then I'm going to give you some takeaways, and then we'll be done right about on time. Is that okay with everybody? How many of you would like to go home with a little more peace in your life? A little more peace. A few of you. Number one, understand the peace of God is not the absence of conflict. It's just not. We're supposed to live together in peace. We're supposed to do those kind of things. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called one body. Be ye thankful. Romans 12. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, be kind one to another. Romans 12, 18. As much as is possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. However, there's just some folks, man, scratching to fight. There's some folks just drive us crazy. Some folks, man, just that are just there. And that's okay, but it's not the absence of conflict. Like I said, I'm always terrified by people. I'm always terrified by people who do what I do, who preach and go, yeah, my wife and I never had a cross word. And I'm like, what, is your wife mute? And, what do you mean? What do you mean? I've been around people who said, we've never had an argument. Never had an argument. And I'm going, well, God's about to strike you dead, and I don't want to be collateral damage. I'm going to step over here. What do you mean? What do you mean you never... I'm kind of like the old joke. You know, somebody asked the guy's wife. Do you ever wake up grumpy? And she goes, no. Sometimes I let him sleep in, and not the absence of conflict. It's how we deal with that conflict when we're there. We are supposed to live together in peace, but it's not always possible, not always probable. We can do it. We can have conflict. We can have conflict with lost people. 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge at every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor in them that are saved and in them that are perished. To the ones that we savor, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and the other the savor of life unto life. To the saved folks, man, it's great. To the other folks, man, we just reminding them of their death, and they're not happy about it, and he keeps going on there. There are people that will not like you or love you because you follow Jesus. Changed the way I preached 20, 25 years ago. I used to ask Jesus in your heart, and I'd say the things I'd always heard said. Jesus said, if you, any man fall after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. If a man hate not his father and mother and his wife, and yea, all men for my sake, he cannot be my disciple. That's the call to follow Jesus. It's called a hardship. You're going to have conflict. You're going to have conflict with lost people. You may have conflict. May have conflict in the church. 1 Corinthians 5, I'll just hit this and run. Every now and then, man, folks just kind of annoy you. You know, and you can't, you get kind of at loggerheads. That's okay, too. It's okay. We can have peace through that. Peace through that. I've given up trying to be right. I want to be correct. I want to be accurate with the scriptures. I'm not trying to win an argument. I'm trying to be persuasive, but I want to be close to the scripture. If that means I got to take a side road or detour, I just want to be correct. I want to be correct. I'm also the opinion that I'm not always right, and I don't have all knowledge. So I appreciate everyone who always defers to me in certain things and all, but I don't know anything about engineering. I know enough about electricity that if the power is on and you grab hold of live wire, it will change your life. And, you know, I know certain things about certain things, but I'm okay going, here we go. I'm always unnerved by people who think that they know everything about everything. It must always be listened to. I don't know how that works. I know how that works. They end up going to work for the federal government, and be a bureaucrat. But other than that, when you're here, you can have conflict there. You have conflict. The peace of God. Secondly, and here's the important one. I think everybody knows the first one. It's not the absence of suffering. If you just had enough faith, if you just gave more money, when I was ill, the people who came out of the woodwork, who told me, you just need to have more faith. And I kindly, to some of them, after a while, I just started ignoring them. Kindly, I said, I have enough faith to know that I'm about to die and I'm trying to get ready to die. That's not the way to approach it. I'm like, well, I'm going to die sometime. I'm either going to die this year or next year or the year before. I've just been reminded, you know, it's probably closer than I thought it was. So, but as far as I know, death is undefeated except for once. And so all of us got an appointment. Well, you say it like that. Well, you just told me if I had enough faith, I'd be okay. Which is it? And then they quit communicating with me. Don't argue with me when I'm feeling spunky. And it's not the absence of suffering. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Peter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. One of the ways to know that you're living right may be that life gets really, really hard. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is before you. If some strange thing had happened to you, don't be surprised if you live for Jesus and everything goes sideways. It's not the absence of suffering. Your life may get harder. We talked about giving for a minute. You may start giving and all of a sudden, man, you need four tires. You going to trust me? Even though you got a mechanical problem? Multiple times in our life, everything go absolutely upside down, and we were right in the middle of God's will. I'm convinced of that. Will you trust me when it is difficult? There's another verse. I didn't put it in your notes there, but it may be so that God does what? He chooses to allow you to suffer for his glory and namesake. It is a badge of honor. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs or the revised Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's a couple other ones out there, some more modern martyrs. Folks, man, help me to die well. Help me to understand the great privilege it is. I'm about to be headed. Understand all the peace of God is not the absence of suffering. And I don't care what person with great hair on TV full of makeup says to you. I don't care what nut job on the radio says there's not enough amount of money. There's not enough amount of prayer. All these things, suffering may be on the menu for you, and it's okay because God can give you peace in the midst of your suffering. Peace of God is not the absence of suffering. God may use trouble, difficulty, to transform us into his image. When you find that he's all that you have, you'll find that he's all you need. It may change our character. There are few things get our attention more than trouble and suffering. Let me help you. And when you suffer and you're in trouble because of your own trouble, You made your own mess. That's good incentive to do differently. Suffering increases our capacity for joy. Simeon, 2 weeks ago, "Mine eyes have seen your salvation. I have lived all these years and waited for the consolation of Israel." Suffering does something. When you understand one depth, you can climb the heights of another. God can use difficulty and trouble to do that. And then here we go, and then I'm going to give you some practicals, and we're going to pray. Is everybody still with me? Say amen. Number four, the peace of God is His supply, and His supply and His presence in the life of the believer. Peace is not a feeling, although I like the feeling of peace. I was joking around earlier, you know. Growing up in my house, peace was never one word. It was peace and quiet. My father wanted peace and quiet. Can't I have some peace and quiet? He'd go outside and we'd follow him. For a while there, that's what I thought my brother and I names were, peace and quiet, because he always kept referring to it. So my dad would go outside and break stuff so he could fix it, so he could be alone. And he worked a job with the phone. He was phone salesman, or inside salesman, and phone just rang constantly. He lived long enough to see email. There was not a human alive who despised email, I think, more than my father at that moment. And if he lived to see smartphones and things, he'd have gone and lived in a cave. So he would have liked the pictures, but he'd have hated it, I think. Peace and quiet. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is not being left alone. Peace is the presence of Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus in the garden, Father, pouring out His soul. What you and I need is not our circumstances to align according to our master plan. What you and I need to know is that Jesus is very close to us no matter what our circumstances are. The peace of God is His supply. He will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. The Old Testament word peace or shalom, same word really, a lot of times in the New Testament, irene is typically the Greek word there. And I love one of the definitions for shalom. If you've ever been around somebody that says shalom, shalom is the possession of adequate resources. You have enough. You have enough emotional energy. You have enough mental energy. You have enough whatever you need. You got enough. Shalom. He is the Prince of Shalom. You have what you need. The Prince of Peace. God has come. You need forgiveness. He's got enough. You need righteousness. He has more than enough. You need His presence, man. And He comes and takes up residence. The Holy Spirit there is inside of you now. And you have all that you need. If you're glad that He's the Prince of Peace, say amen. Amen. Remember, here we go. Let me give you some practicals and we're done. Remember, He's enough as you struggle with circumstances and fear. See, things don't really bother me. You hadn't had a big enough Goliath in your life yet. He's enough. He is shalom. He is the Prince of enough. He's enough as you struggle with circumstances and fear. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remember, He is enough. I'm glad He doesn't tell us that it's a sin to be afraid. I'm glad He tells us that in your fear, He is enough. He's enough. Number two, He's enough as you struggle with sinful habits and temptations. Flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In the middle of your struggle, He's enough. If you're a follower of Christ, you no longer have to sin. You choose to sin. You don't have to sin anymore. Power of God that's within you is enough. It's shalom. Don't hide it. Take it to Jesus. For heaven's sake, don't feed it. He's enough. He's enough. If you're thankful for these first two things, say amen. Number three, the gift of peace is not possible until you get the first three gifts. Until you've experienced hope, and forgiveness, or redemption, and joy, this is the natural thing. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house. And then you just change the words there. Where there's love, love, love. Where there's joy, joy, joy. Where there's peace, peace, peace. That's it. Until you get the first three, you'll never figure out this one. By the way, they are a package deal. Number four, remember, peace is not the absence of struggle. It's peace in the middle of the struggle. Had to throat surgery and had to jump through all these hoops again, all these emotions, had to do all this stuff. They had to recheck everything. They called me and said, your results are in. I said, give them to me. He said, I can't. I said, you can. You just said they were in. Said, I'm not authorized to do it. I was like, you understand this is like handing a donut to an overweight man and telling him not to eat it. Do not do this to me. And we'll call you back at 4:45. So for 3 hours, I died. Got bigger and bigger in my head. Bad, bad, bad. 4:45, they called and said, the doctor will call you in a minute. Okay, woman, you're getting on my last nerve. 5 o'clock came, 5 o'clock went. You know how slowly time passes when you're waiting on something? Staring at the clock, kept checking my phone, kept checking another clock. Checked the international clock there in Greeley, Colorado. 5:15, they called, said, Covenant system has crashed. We're going home. We're sorry. We'll call you tomorrow. I said, unacceptable. I said, did you look at it? Can you at least tell me? I said, I never opened it. I just knew it's here. I was like, you are not getting a Christmas card from me. About 6:30. I wonder if their system's up. I wonder if I can still see my notes. Clicked on it. Sure enough, there it was. It was all gobbledygook. So I Googled the expressions I didn't know. And it said, see the second note. Clicked off. Second note. Wasn't posted. Because they put a rush on one, didn't put the rush on the other. So at 6:30 the next morning, the reason I know it was posted at 6:30 because I was looking for it. 6:30 the next morning, they posted it. Gobbledygook, read it. Okay, no problem. I'm worried to death that God has tripped on the job. All the stuff. You know. I laughed. I cried. It was fine. It was fine before I knew it was fine. It's fine before I had the test. It's fine before anything. It's fine before I let my mind race. It's fine before I went, I can't tell my family I'm sick again. It's, you know, I had no reason. It was embarrassing. Lord, why am I wigging out these 3 hours? If the woman hadn't called me, I'd have been fine. If she really hadn't called me at 4:45, I'd have been fine. I'm still a little chippy about the fact that Covenant decided to close and crash. Why did the thought of bad news mess with my theology of who you are? Lord, help my faith. Lord, increase my faith. You've been good to me. Why did I act like an idiot for 4 hours? Peace is not the absence of struggle. It's in the midst of it. God, you are always good. God, you know the end from the beginning. I'm done. Miss Sharon, very encouraging, sends me stuff several times a week. Sent me something a while back. I'd forgotten a little expression. Know Jesus, no peace. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, is to know peace. You and I can meet the Prince of Peace, can have the Prince of Peace, but you will never know the Prince of Peace. You will never know the peace of God until he has forgiven you your sins. You must start there. Oh, Father, would you help us this morning? Would you help us tell people who think, Lord, if they just had more money, if they just had more this, if they just had more that, if they just had less of this. And Lord, some of that's true circumstantially. Then that changes. It always changes. So Lord, help us find our anchor, just like in joy, our anchor must be in Christ. That no matter my circumstances, I can hold tightly to your hand and I can have peace. Whisper to our hearts. Wrap your arms around us. And Lord, we can share peace. Peace is found in a person, not in a place, not circumstances. It's not 5 digits in the bank account or 6 digits or 7 digits in the bank account. It is knowing that you will provide and that you are good. Increase our faith that you are bigger than our circumstances and bigger than our trials. And that, Lord, it is a privilege to do anything for you, much less suffer. And as long as there are people, there will be problems. And so it's not that, Father. It is the peace in the midst of the problems. And that, Lord, you are the problem solver. When folks get right with you, they'll learn to get right with each other.